Okay, much better.
This is all staying in, by the way.
It's all what?
It's all staying in.
Oh, good, good. It should. Oops.
How was your Sunday?
Good. Easy so far.
And just so people know, Shazia Dean is in Texas. Shazia Pascal.
Yeah, yes, I'm in Texas. The lone state. The Lone Star State.
Maybe we should start by just setting this up a bit. I talk to you like at least once a week. And I was like, instead of burning our conversations on the phone, let's use this for mask consumption so the rest of the world can enjoy acting neuroticism. I don't know how to describe it. Comedian acting.
That's valid. Yeah. It's always good when we talk and we're able to get out what's on our minds, because you're right. It takes another person in the industry to really understand what's going on in our minds, or else regular people would just think we're crazy. Maybe we are.
How is your 2024 starting off?
Crazy.
Really? Are you auditioning?
Yes, I'm auditioning. Yesterday had to be a maid. I'm like, how did I go from like super hot girl to a role for the maid? It just, you know, nothing makes sense, but
Shad, you're still hot. I mean, come on, you're still hot. You're gonna still go out for hot roles and MILF roles now.
Yeah, I guess that's, I don't know. I'm not, I know, I don't see those, Tharun. I get the maid, and then I got like, I had a commercial audition I had to film yesterday. So it's busy. But yeah, I went out for a role recently that was pretty cool. It was like playing Mother Earth.
Just so people know, like we've done a lot of work together in movies and web series and stuff. And like I've always admired like what you've done of like, you've always like done your own thing. Never like tried to chase this path of, oh, I've got to be in LA and follow this route that everybody else is doing, which I feel like I've done, but nobody really respects that. But I feel like you've done that really well. You've always been on its own trajectory. But we were talking yesterday about asking people for help, because in this line of what we do, you still have to like ask people for favors and stuff. Could you share a little bit about like what you meant by that?
I feel like, well, yesterday we were talking about how we have these friends that are in high places within our entertainment industry. And I said, have you ever asked for one of them to like hook you up or work on a project with you? And you were like, no. I said, I haven't either. Yeah. I've never done that. Huge producers. I've been sitting with big casting directors, and I've never asked them to collaborate. I don't know why I feel uncomfortable asking them. And so you and I were sharing that we're both in the same boat. However, I feel like if you don't ask, you don't get. So are we missing something? Like, what is there to lose by asking?
I guess I feel humiliated by asking for help. I mean, like, if I can't do it on my own, then I think it's like the Indian way of approaching things. I always feel like we should be able to self-generate this stuff in our own life and like self-manifest this stuff. And if we can't do it, then we don't deserve it, or I don't deserve it. But I see people in the industry, and tell me if I'm wrong, the people you saw when you were living here in LA, because I know you were in LA for a long time, they have no qualms about asking for help or putting themselves in positions, right?
I mean, I can't even tell. I've known girls in the industry just be like, oh, I'm going to ask so-and-so to help me with a down payment on, but I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't, but it worked out. It works for them. I don't, it's hard for me too. Yeah. Maybe there's a little bit of humiliation there, and there's maybe a fear of rejection or ruining that relationship. Like, what, they say no and then I don't have a friend anymore? But I don't know, it's tough, because some of them could have really changed the course of my career.
If you are in a position, would you help others? Like, say you were like some A-list star, not saying you're not a star, but say you were like Jennifer Lopez level. Would you go out of your way to help other people?
I always help other people to the capacity that I can, right? Like, if I was, I think that it's hard too because you and I know that they don't always hold the final say. Like, I can be friends with a casting director, but she doesn't hold the final say, right? There's a whole team of producers and directors that have to all agree on it. And so for me, I would help people as much as I can. Always.
Have you done that in the past?
I currently now mentor a couple of models that are have moved to LA, and I help them. I'm helping them navigate just their headshots, their portfolio, their agents, their managers, their auditions. Sometimes I help them with self-tape. So I am actively mentoring these gals, and I don't charge for it. I'm literally helping. I'm not, making money off of it.
Look, I think we both made good money modeling. But I think you made way more money than I did as a model. But would you want your kids going into this business? I don't want to talk about your kids, but would you want your family going into this business as a print model and then acting?
Not in 2023. No, it's changed. Would
Why?
I help them, 15 years ago when people were making crap ton money modeling and doing commercials? Perhaps if I could be there and I could keep some of the ugly away. But where the industry is now, no, I wouldn't want. I actually had this conversation with my husband this morning with about my daughters because Stuart's like an amazing golfer, right? And so we were talking about passing down our gifts and talents to our kids. Like, do we think they have the same gifts that we have? And I said, maybe they are good actors. I see it in my youngest daughter, but I don't want to push her into that career because it's just getting harder and harder to make the kind of living that, you dream about making as an actor. It's just gone are those days. And so my husband's got both the girls and they're out playing golf right now. It's like, let's work on your gift with them.
But isn't everything about like kind of just getting to that lucky opportunity? I mean, really, there's so many like models who I knew back in the day who just got to a certain point so they could get to an acting thing so they can get to another point. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Oh,
I
it's
don't think.
always a ladder. It's not always like a straight up and down ladder, but there is a ladder for sure.
You know, I used to meet these old guy models on these shoots. And there were like these grizzled people, and they were just kind of doing their own thing on the shoot. You know, like these models are like all bubbly and stuff. And these guys playing like the grandfather or whatever, they'd be like just out of it. And I'd pick their brain and I'd find out these really interesting backstories. I'm sure you have the same experiences. And these guys were like, yeah, I modeled in Paris for 20 years. And man, the money was fucking good. Now it's shit. And I was like, oh my God, like this is. I was like, I got to get out of this business. Like, just you see these people, but then you hear like Ashton Kutcher and stuff who were like models. And then this is like the most unrelatable topic for like audiences, but I'm just saying this is what it is. But then you see like the total dynamic of guys who went on to become these A-list stars. So I feel like a lot of it's just a lot of timing, but you have to be able to push yourself to be an actor. You've got to be auditioning, which I think you do. I mean, look at your background right now. You could be auditioning for anything right now. Like
As my background,
you always come ready though.
I always come ready. I always give 100%. Let me tell you, I was totally wrong for that maid job yesterday, that audition I did. But I brought my A game. I nailed it. But I wouldn't cast me in it because I've also, excuse me, I've worked on the casting side. Listen, when the person walks in and you see the, or that when you see their self-tape, you know right away. You know if they're just fit the part. So that it's like, am I going to watch this? And so, I don't think I fit what they were looking for. I read the script. I'm like, but I brought my A game. And for me, it's more about showing the casting director that I'm a professional. I know what I'm doing and I always give 100%. So, yeah. I think that's part of a mindset you have to have.
So does the fans of, because I know you have your fans, but like, don't you miss like living the glamour life in LA of like, oh my God, Shazia, here's your paparazzi. Because I think that's what people think LA's like for a lot of actors and models. Like, you don't have that desire at all.
I think I'm just in a different phase of life. But I miss like right before I left LA, there was this random night that I went out. I was at this hot spot restaurant, and next to me was an A-lister that's like huge. Next
Ooh.
thing you know, we're hanging out. Next thing you know, we're like, he's like, "Do you guys want to come hear me play? I'm going to this other place that I'm going to be playing the drums and singing," and we ended up being his like VIP guests, and like those type of random nights where you're suddenly like you went out to dinner, but you're coming home and you're like, "I just hung out with, wait, what just happened?" Like, that was really fun. So those type of random things that happen, I think I miss those, but other than that, no, I don't miss the fast-paced hamster wheel that is Los Angeles.
And that person was Raghav, by the way, that you ran into.
Who?
Raghav, some Desi singer guy. Anyways, it's a bad joke. No, I'm just saying, because I think we live in two different planets. But when I talk to you, you're more at peace, you sound like, like I don't. But then I also think because you have a family and stuff, well,
Yeah,
I'm
you know what? I
assuming.
feel like I auditioned more than I was in LA the last few years there. I audition a ton here because I'm covering more markets. I have got Atlanta, I've got Florida. I'm a Colorado agent, and then I'm doing all of Texas, Oklahoma, Louisiana. So, yeah, I'm busier, and I think that COVID really changed the way we audition, and self-tapes became more of a norm, which then opened up the industry for me. Because a part of me thought, you know what, I'm going to move to Texas, and I think I have to retire. Like, I'm going to be done. What am I going to do in Texas? And then I booked Descendants 4. So it's like, okay, I don't know. I guess I'm still working.
What is Descendant Sports? What is that?
Descendants 4.
Oh, is that? Oh, I know that's a Disney thing you did. All right. See, but
Disney.
Chazzy, I also think you also have like a very universal look. Like, nobody thinks I'm Mexican. I mean, really, but you could pass for Latina, Desi. You can cross a lot of bridges. Don't you think that has a lot to do with your success?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I get cast for a lot of different ethnicities for sure. I want to be cast. I want to represent my culture. I want to show that they see look don't we don't all look one way.
Well, aren't they saying that like diversity's in right now? I mean, it's not.
Oh yeah, that's all. That's it. That's it.
I just called a friend of mine, and he's like, he used to be a pretty big comic, but like he kind of just, I don't say faded out, but like it's just different now. But I was telling him, dude, you were like the Asian Dane Cook back in the day, and I was like, if this was just today, you'd be like huge. But it's just timing. Like, everything in life is timing. And I don't make this all about showbiz, but like everything in life, whether you're a doctor or a lawyer, like when you apply, like certain stars have to align for opportunities to emerge.
Yeah, you and being at the right place at the right time and the circumstances all being in your favor, and then you're like, wow, I could just sit back and this thing is going. I think that you and I got into the industry at a time where it was harder. We were like, what about the brown people? Like, why are we not represented in just, why does it have to be a specific role written for an Indian person that's so stereotypical? And that's what we're cast as. Why can't we just be the person who works at the market? Like, we don't work at the mall. We don't, like, where were we out of those shows? And so I think that it was harder for us, but we did pave the way. I mean, you see brown people now in everyday roles on TV.
But back then, even like when I was 25, it was just the excitement of being in the industry, which like, because I think ignorance is bliss, right? Because this wasn't, obviously it's a different market now, and it's gonna be different in 10 years from now. Like, who knows what's gonna happen 10 years from now? So like, we lived in that moment in time, and At least you can say that you were part of the forefront of JCs who
Oh
were
yeah.
boards.
Well, I think the COC was ahead of its time.
Oh, the web series. Yeah, I guess. But I mean, there's always going to be, Desi stuff out there. And do you watch Desi stuff? Do you watch Bollywood stuff?
I have just had a reemergence into Bollywood films. I watched a ton as a child with my family, and then I kind of just steered away. And then I watched this documentary on Netflix called The Romantics. Did you see that? All
No,
about
is it good?
it's oh my goodness. I just bawled through the whole thing.
What's it about?
It's all about Bollywood and Desi cinema and how far it's come and where it kind of started and who the heavy hitters were and what and the shift in Bollywood with the movies with it was just so good. And I started watching Desi movies again recently, so it's been good.
With Stu, you already mentioned Stu, so it's fair game now. Your husband, you guys watched the Bollywood documentary together.
Yeah, we did. And now my kids and I are watching Bollywood films. My kids are not, they're half. They don't speak Hindi. I do. So it's fun for me to watch with them and they're picking up on words. It's really neat.
Now, was it a choice for you not to speak Hindi to your kids growing up?
I wanted to.
I hope this isn't getting too personal, so let me know. I'll back off, but like your family or
I think it's hard when you live in America and you marry some, my husband's from Scotland, he speaks English. And so it was really hard for me to just speak Hindi or Urdu to them. I wish I would have, but I mean, I do here and there and they know little words, but yeah, it's a shame. Well, I have two nephews that speak Hindi, and then all my other nieces and nephews, nobody speaks it.
But your parents spoke Hindi to you at home.
Only. They didn't speak English to me.
So how'd you learn English?
Three's Company.
Three's Company. So your first words were like, Jack, get out of the shower or something.
It was Larry. Yeah. But no, really, my parents did learn to speak English watching like comedies in the 80s. But I was two when we moved to America. So I kind of learned both languages.
I'm hosting on this Indian show right now, and I get so freaked out I'm going to mispronounce the Hindi words.
Right.
There's nobody I can even talk to because even there's nobody I can really just check stuff. So I got to call you now and ask if I'm saying these words right because I don't want to be on TV mispronouncing the words. Like there's a movie called Dunki, Dunki, and I wasn't sure if I was saying that right. So
Hunky or Dunnock? Are you talking about Dunnock?
no, Dunki. I'm like totally mispronouncing the movie, but I checked it with the executive producer of the show. She said I said it right.
Okay.
But
Dunky. I don't know. I just watched Dunnock, which was really good about the blind boy.
a comedy.
Yeah, it's a comedy.
I think from an Amer from a casting standpoint, like you'd be perfect for the Daisy roles because you actually have embodied both worlds. But I can see because I remember we've talked before about your frustrations, and they could be like, "Well, this girl's." Doesn't look Indian enough, blah blah blah, that whole thing. So, I hope you have like a reemergence, which sounds like you are in Texas with Descendants and stuff.
Yeah, but not Desi girl. You know what I mean? Like I just booked Karina Sanchez in a movie. And then I played Princess Jasmine, who's kind of, iconic. She's not Indian, but the guy who they cast as Aladdin was also Indian, so that was kind of cool.
Oh, in the Broadway play Aladdin or the TV show.
Descendants 4. It's all about the Disney princesses and their
Okay,
children.
I have to watch Descendants 4. Is it out yet?
You watched Descendants 1, 2, and 3.
It out? Is it out?
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry, I'm not a big Disney guy.
So those were my kids' favorite movies. So like 2 years in a row, they dressed up as Descendants characters. So when I booked this, you can imagine the chaos of screaming that was happening in my house. And so when I got to set, the first thing I did the first day is I went up to Fairy Godmother and Chynna-Ann McClain, and I was like, "You guys have to FaceTime my daughters. They're gonna lose their minds." And so they FaceTimed them, and these are their favorite stars. and their phone is ringing from mommy, and there's these descendant stars being like, Athena, Aurora, help me. So it was pretty epic. I would say it's my favorite role I've booked simply because of my kids being such huge fans of the show, of the movies.
Where did you shoot it?
Atlanta. 2 weeks in Atlanta. That was hard. That was hard.
So you
You
might
know,
go, could you be like a recurring character for Descendants 5 then?
I
Next
am
week.
Princess Jasmine.
You're gonna come back.
I mean, I hope so. I
That's
hope so.
huge. That's a huge thing.
It's
Well, I hope it blows up so people watch this more.
well, you know, yeah. Well, Princess Jasmine is now a mom, and she has children in the high school. So that's what the whole series is about, is like it takes Cinderella and Jasmine and like all the princesses, Beauty and the Beast, like, but we're all parents now. And so now it's our the generation beneath us that are the stars.
Do you feel like you would have booked this role if you were living in LA?
No.
So, I mean, look at Texas then. Like, it's opened up doors for you. I
Yeah.
mean, so I feel like it's almost like this invisible thread pulling you to Texas to, because we've had this talk about acting and stuff, and I'm like, I can't stand it sometimes, but you keep going. Like, you've always just kept going like a machine, which I think is the most important quality.
Darn, I try and leave it. Every few years, I'm like, I'm done. I am so done. I'm like always the last. I always go to producers. It's between me and another person. You know, it's like Fox is like, no, we're looking for a show for you. And then nothing. So I'm like, every few years, I get actor burnout. It's so real. And I'm not gonna lie, I'm kind of at actor burnout right now. And it's like, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. And then somehow, some way, somebody calls and they're like, no, but this casting director is looking for you. Or like when I moved to Texas, it was my old acting coach who was like, Shazi, are you in the Woodlands? Or you know, where are you? I live in Texas. Like, let's get you going. I was like, oh no, I'm done. I'm retired. He's like, no, I have an agent that's gonna love you. And that's how I ended up booking Descendants.
Yeah, well, I feel like you've always been working. I feel like even when you say you're going to quit, you've never really stopped, which I think is a big part of your success.
Maybe.
So, I mean, did you tell it to your mentees
I do
about?
tell them that the journey is hard and that it's the ladder is not, you know, just a vertical ladder, and that you gotta just keep climbing one foot in front of the other. Always do something every day that's for your career or, you know, but also fulfills you.
Like
And
what?
you know, for me, I can listen to a podcast. I like listening to podcasts that other actors are talking about their journey. So I try and put aside some time that is a dedication towards my creativity and my career, even when I have actor burnout, because actor burnout to me is burnout from not booking, right? It's not that I don't like acting anymore. I love the craft. I love storytelling. I love our industry. When I have burnout, it's because I've just been going at it and auditioning, 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 being put on hold, and then I'm not having that much to show for it in any given amount of time. And so that's when I get burnout.
Well, do you miss, I mean, the LA scene? Because I think that's a big part of living in LA is being surrounded by other people in the industry, right? I mean, that's the whole appeal. You know, when I was living in Florida for like almost 2 years, and I would tell these young comedians, you know, the big reason I'm living in LA is being around other comedians who are kind of hustling. And that's where you like meet relationships, your currency to move up in the world, right? I mean, you obviously have a resume behind you, but don't you miss that, or is that just not even a part of the equation?
I do miss that. There are not as many creatives here. I certainly can't just grab lunch with someone. Recently, though, this gal that was in the Hot Chick with me,
What's the hot chick? Do people
Hot
know?
Chick was the Rob Schneider movie I was in.
Okay.
You don't remember the Hot Chick?
I do remember the hot chick, but for people who don't know, so you weren't the, were you, you weren't, you were like hot chick number two or something. You weren't
I
the.
was the princess who makes the earrings that the
Oh,
whole
that's
movie
right. That's right. I think you have the, and the princess characters, like you've almost
I
like
get the
that.
princess stuff. I play some kind of royalty. I don't know. It's interesting to like brand yourself, and like I did some one of these like classes where they're like, you walk in the room and all you're gonna do is introduce yourself, like you're gonna do your slate, and then everyone in the room has to give their like three words that they think you are. Have you done one of these exercises?
Probably.
And it was a branding session.
Oh, I think I had done this and I hated it. So
Really?
what was yours,
So, I
Princess?
mean, it was so consistent that they were like wealthy wife, royalty, or like snooty wife character. And I was like, a trophy wife.
You're like, we haven't started the exercise yet. All right, can we just. So they
But
said
you
this about you?
well, the crazy thing is you know me, and there's just like a geek living inside of me. Like, I'm a nerd, like, I'm silly, I'm goofy, I'm funny. I don't know. I don't match. The inside doesn't match.
Because people make judgments. That's just how we are. I always wanted to be like a funny comedian, but like nobody ever saw me as fun. I don't know if I'm even funny today, but like people assume I'm more like an office person. So I can see why people put you in this box. Unless you really get to know Shazia, it's hard to, get that.
Yeah, it's been hard for me to book comedic stuff. But I feel like this year, like my agents in Atlanta really get that. They really get me. Like they're like, yeah, she does comedy. And the casting director, because Atlanta was like this new market for me, I was able to come in and be like, okay, I'm going to tell you who I am. Where LA, they've just known me for so long, these casting directors, that they like in their
Yeah.
mind, they have an idea of who I am. And so I was able to kind of reinvent myself on the East Coast, and I am getting the quirky, funny, comedic roles, and that has been fun. But like I said, it's been a lot too.
That's a way smaller box. I mean, even thinking now, like Mean Girls or something, like the funny hot girl, like that's a way smaller box, and in my opinion, and feel like they, I mean, I can think of like frumpy fat girls or like and 2 and a Half Men when Charlie Sheen would be dating like a hot, funny model or something. You know what I'm saying? Like that's such a specific type of role, which I know you'd probably kill it, but it's so hard to like put those two. For some reason, people just think, oh, you're funny, you gotta look a certain way, you know?
Absolutely, totally. It's like you're Indian, you're playing an Indian role, you got to look a certain way. If you're playing a funny role, you have to look a certain way. It's been weird, but I do think it's changed. It's changed these last few years. I mean, like COVID did something. I don't know. Changed people. Our industry has changed so much in the last 4 years because I also work on the other side too, you know? Like I've never in my career, and like you, we wear many hats, right? Like you're a director, you're a writer, you're an actor, you're a comedian, you're a producer. And so I too have worked similarly. Like I've been a producer, I've been a director, I've been an actor, and I've been an agent. I've worked in casting. So I think it's important to work all sides because you really get an understanding for the pulse of the industry and you see it differently. You don't take things personally. You start having this really big perspective of it, and it's not all about like you. You start to see the bigger machine that goes into this, and I think that's also important for people to get outside of just what they think they should be doing or what, you know, all of that and flex, risk it, flex it.
Yeah. Well, for me, I have to do it out of necessity. It's not because I really want to do all this. Even like now, I'm like, oh, I gotta be shooting stuff. I don't really want to shoot stuff. It's just because you have to, otherwise you're gonna sink in the water.
It's competitive.
But if I was working like non, I think I had this conversation with a friend of mine. Like if you're working in a certain direction, you're just gonna move. Like, if I was hired on staff to write for some show, I wouldn't bother with anything else and be like, just put everything into because you just want to kill it wherever you are getting, for me, if I'm getting paid to do something, I want to make sure I just kill it every time. So that way there's no reason not to get rid of me.
I see that. Well, I mean, going back to what I said was the industry's changed in 4 years, is now it's like everything's online. And so now you have to have this sudden online presence that when I started out, that was not a thing. I mean, it was, you know,
So what's stopping you from doing that?
what, having an online presence?
Yeah, making videos online and stuff.
I don't know. I guess it's just time, dedicating time to it, I suppose, would be.
I mean, you can go on OnlyFans and make like $1 million tomorrow, Shazzy. Let's be real. I mean, you could totally do that if you wanted
Yeah, well,
to. You're like, no. I live in
you know,
Texas.
I didn't sell out back in the day. I had some opportunities, let's just say,
Oh,
presented
what's
to me.
it? Tell us one opportunity where you could have sold out and you passed it up.
I had a few times very, very prominent figures in Hollywood
Now we're getting into it.
propose, say, listen, if you were my girlfriend, I would make you famous. And I said, yeah, I was like, no, I'm going to do it myself. And there was girls there, you know, I was working on a job with this guy, and there was gals there that were like, what are you doing? Like, he will set you up. You will be famous. Like, why don't you want to date him? And I was like, because I'm not attracted to him.
You know, even that whole Harvey Weinstein stuff, like obviously got busted, but think about all the people who did sleep with him. Like we're just seeing the slice of people who rejected him. Imagine all the people, and he's one of many. And this is
Oh,
a
I know someone who was, I know someone who went to his office in New York City. I read for him, and
Oh, really?
my agent told me, don't make eye contact with him. You're going in for the callback, you're going for the producer session, Harvey's going to be there. Don't make eye contact with him. I was like, what, why? I didn't know. I didn't book the part, maybe because I didn't make eye contact with him, but thank goodness.
Well, if you are moderately good looking, and I think it goes for guys too. I think guys also, I mean, my hate, I was hit on by gay photographers from photographers, but I wasn't proposed like that. I think it's just an you have to navigate the stuff. That's why having a good team around you is really important.
Oh, yeah.
People don't really understand how important that is. Like doing this solo, you're just so naive, in your 20s. You don't really know.
Which is exactly why I'm mentoring these models. If I would have had me, I think that my career would have been even better. I'm happy with my career. I think that,
You're just in like a major Disney series. I
yeah,
mean, that's
no,
huge.
I'm happy, but you know, I have friends that are on like long running TV shows that started out the same time I did, right? Like I had friends that we all went different ways, so
Oh, don't get me started. Famous friends are like the bane of my existence, just because you just see them all the time. You're like, Jesus
yeah.
Christ. And you wish them well, but at the same time, you're like, why? Really? Why? You know?
Timing. It's look at listen, when Athena was born, my firstborn, I had her at Cedars and right there in Beverly Hills. And guess who came to see me the first day that I had her?
Harvey Weinstein.
Taylor Sheridan and his wife, Nicole. They were friends of mine. We were pregnant at the same time. His wife and I would meet up for lunch all the time. And so he was an acting coach. We all went to him for like acting for our auditions. We
Taylor
coached with
Sheridan was an acting coach.
Yes, he was the acting coach that we were all referred to. Nicole and I had the same agent and Alex, and that's how I met Nicole, and that's how Nicole met Taylor. She was in his acting class. And so, but you know, and then you see them go on and like Jill Wagner, who was one of my really good friends. We modeled together, and then she was with Ashton Kutcher on that hidden camera show, and now she's produced a show with Taylor. And I'm like, again, this goes back to like why this whole conversation started. Why don't I pick up the phone and ask Nicole and Taylor to throw me in on a show? I can't, I don't feel comfortable doing that.
Well, you can always ask me, Shaz, and I will I'll put you in my Instagram stories anytime
I'll
you
put you
want.
in my Instagram stories. No, if I was creating a show, you better believe you would be in it.
Anything you want to add, Shas, wrapping this up?
No, I think that you should ask though. I'm going to tell other people to go ahead and ask all their friends to help them out. Maybe not say help me out, but like, hey, we should collaborate. When are we going to do something? Like, just say it like that. Like, so when do we get to do something together? And see what happens, because if you don't ask, you don't get. And I'm going to try and follow that too. That's a hard thing for me.
Shaz, I will talk to you probably in 10 minutes. I'll call you.
Okay.
Have a good day, everyone. We'll see you guys next time. Take care.